Wonderful. God is moving in our midst, and I'm excited today. We've got quite a bit to get through, but I really wanted to encourage you in my time of preparation this morning. The Lord really arrested me, and I want to bring, firstly, before we get into the message, I want to bring a bit of encouragement to you. You know, we're living in a changing world, and we're living in a country where there's a lot of change taking place, and things have taken place in our nation, and as I read the news, I see people are getting despondent in the circumstances that we find. I'm seeing young people want to run away and go and live in another nation. I see people trying making other plans, and there's no hope. And I want to come to you today and say that we must stop believing the lie that the media is telling us. Things might be difficult. And there are things that we have to tighten our belts, and we have to adjust the way we're doing things. But we got to follow God in this process. We cannot get despondent, and I've even got caught in this process. We've got to change our confession, and we've got to change the way that we're looking at our nation. We have prayed. God has answered our prayer. The timing is in His hands. And we've got to trust God through the season that we are going. I know there are difficulties out there. But I want to say we live by a different kingdom. We don't live by this world. And I'm telling you, God is for us. He's not against us. And He is our provider. Even if there is shortage, He will still continue to provide for you in an incredible way. You know what? Wednesday, the biggest petrol price increase. What is your response? Woe is me. Well, thank you, God, for an opportunity to trust you. And I want to just come and I want to encourage you, because God watches us. And how do we respond in these circumstances? He never leaves us, but He watches us how we respond. And, you know, it just pricked me this week as I was reading in Mark from chapter 12, verse 41 to 44. And I quickly want to go through this just to encourage you. It talks about the widow's offering. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put in and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put two very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a cent. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus says, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more money or more into the treasury than all the others. They gave out of their wealth, but she gave out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. Now, I just wanted to say Jesus is observing what we're doing with our monies. He actually went purposely to the temple to watch how people were giving. Isn't that amazing? God Almighty watches us how we're giving. So this public declaration that we do here of giving to God and what you do and give to God through EFT, God is watching that. And I tell you, He takes pleasure in our obedience in what we are doing to Him. And here God commended this widow who had nothing and what she gave. She gave of her everything, not of her wealth. She gave of her everything. And it seems the Lord is behind the scenes saying, because she's giving it, He's going to provide for her in an incredible way. And I want to just say, in this time that we find ourselves, don't stop giving. It's a secret. It's a secret because, you know, when things get tight, and hear what I'm saying is, always keep your hand open for the Lord to give. I'm not saying be foolish in your giving, but I'm saying don't stop the wellspring that God has opened for us for Him to provide for us. A farmer will never take his sowing seed away because he knows he will never get a crop. He got the sowing seed. It's very important to have that. Don't eat that. Continue to give to God and be generous. Be wise. This is what I want to say to you. Be wise, but don't stop giving to God and don't stop praising Him in these situations. In Isaiah 61, verse 3, it talks about beauty for ashes, the joy instead of mourning, but a garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. This situation that we're facing in our nation can cause despair, and we need to praise God. And we need to say, thank you, Lord, for the petrol increase. Thank you for the food prices that are going up. Thank you that things are difficult. But thank you too, Lord, I lack nothing, that you have provided for all my needs in every single way. God can create things. He doesn't need an economy to do things. So now you might be going through some difficulties, and I want to just say is keep trusting God. But now I want to say practically too, don't be foolish and say God just provides. You have a responsibility to be a good steward of what you've got. And I'm saying, don't get into debt at the moment. Don't push that credit card. Don't go and get that short-term loan. Don't extend yourself at this point in time. You're going to get into trouble because we've got to live with the disposable income that we've got. Live within the means that God has given you, and He will amply provide for you. We've got to cut the cloth to what we've got, and God will continue to provide. Yes, when there's others that are needed, He will come through for you. But be wise, people, be wise. Don't live like the world and get the bigger and better car and get the bigger and better lounge suite. Actually, be within your means and live within your means and provide for your needs what you've got. Trust God in that thing. Be wise. And in this season, when we come to this thing of when there's financial constraints on the situation, you have got to communicate with those around you. I want to just say, in our own family, this thing is a reality. And what I'm finding where we've lacked is communication. Because I have a perception, and I know that God has given me this ability to administer. And I think I've been ministering well, but I haven't communicated well. And we have to communicate at every level. And who do we communicate with first? We talk to God. Now, I want to say this is an incredible opportunity to see God come through. Go shopping with the Holy Spirit. He will provide. I'm telling you, He gets you the bargains. Mom is a bargain hunter, let me tell you that. She arrives there on Friday and she says, the spa's got a special on. The chickens are going for $28.99. I said, what? And we're off there, we go and buy some chickens. That's half the price of a normal chicken. And there was some good meat. And I'm telling you, God will give you the bargains to do things. Yes, and I'm not saying be foolish, but I'm saying let's be thrifty in all the things that we're doing. Just hear my heart in this thing. Where we are at this point in time, let's not lose hope. Let's follow the Holy Spirit. Let's praise Him. God has supplied all our needs, but we need to be wise in the situation. And just in my heart again, folk, don't get into debt. If that Edgar's card is pushing up, cut it up. If you're pushing the credit card to the limit that you cannot even finance it, don't do it, please. Don't do it. Because you're going to get caught. You're going to get ensnared by the world system. And you're going to get that thing of compound interest and you won't recover. Because you've got to get more to actually pay that thing off. So don't get into that, please. Hear my heart. Simplify your lives. Live within your means. A want doesn't always warrant something to go and buy. If you need it, God will provide for that thing. So, you know, the Israelites went through 40 years in the desert. Their shoes never wore out. One pair of shoes, 40 years. One pair of shoes, 5 max. We've got to trust God that the moth won't come and take away. Are you driven by fashion or are you led by the Spirit of God? Now, I'm just saying, ladies, you need to dress well. I want you to be able to have the nice things and do those things. But please, if the dress is going to cause you to get into debt, don't do it. Don't do it. I bet you if you go to your cupboard, you've got a pile of shoes like this, and you've got a wardrobe full of clothes, and you say, I don't have anything to wear. Am I right? Am I right? Let's not do that, please. Let's live thriftily. Let's follow Jesus. Let's rejoice. Let's trust God. Let's trust God. Let's trust our Father. He's a provider, and He will provide. And, you know, I remember Brother Andrew. He went to a mission school in Scotland, and they sent them out on mission. And they gave them £10 and had to do 4 weeks of mission out there, and they had to do a whole bunch of crusades and that, and they had to trust God to provide. And God did provide. And there were two teams that went out. The one team that got the money immediately tithed on their money. The other team tithed at the end. The one that tithed at the end had lack. The one that tithed immediately never had lack and actually came back with money. So there's a principle behind this thing of giving to God. I'm not trying to extract money out of you. I'm trying to protect you. I'm trying to protect you from the schemes of the world that are trying to rob you. God is a provider. He's a provider, but He's provided for you to live on 90%. 90%. And I want to tell you, God has never let you down. He will rebuke the devourer. He will come against those things that were trying to come against you. He wants to reveal himself as Jehovah Jireh. This is our God. So don't lose heart now. Praise God. Trust him and see that he is our wonderful God. Don't stop giving to God. Don't stop giving to other people. Give. Give with a generous heart. So that is my introduction. Can I pray? Father, we thank you that as we approach the Word of God, Lord, the Word has brought so much truth, and we need to grow in this era today of the Christian mind. I understand, Lord, the complexities of this, and really do ask that you would bring us to a place of maturity and that there be a freedom that would come today, Father. Your people would come to an understanding and be able to think clearly and to work together with you and come to a place of victory in you and come to a place of overcoming in you because of these tools that you've given us to work together with you now. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, while we were worshiping there, I had a clear image. You know when you have a little toddler and they run around and they scratch themselves and they run to you crying, and all you get to get the Band-Aid out. Mommy, kiss it better. Do you know that? And then they run away, and then they're happy. I think the majority of the church wants to be in that place. God must run and get the Band-Aid out and kiss it better, and then we're happy. But you know what? That's not the image of the church that we need to be. We need to become mature. That when we do find a situation that something comes against us, we know God's word and we know what to apply in the situation, not to get it just a Band-Aid to make it better, that we walk in the fullness of what God has actually provided for us. And I want to just say God is challenging all of us to become mature in Christ, not just to be babies. We've got to grow in Christ. We've got to understand his ways. We've got to work together with his Holy Spirit. And we've got to do things what he tells us to do in obedience to him. And I'm telling you, that maturity will bring great reward when you get to the throne room of grace one day. Because we've got a work to do in God. So the title message today is The Christian Mind. And we're continuing in the letter of Philippians from Philippians chapter 4. We're going through a journey of that. And in this letter to the Philippians, Paul here brings a lot of understanding about the mind and the mentality of the Christian mind. And, you know, we go to psychologists to try and understand how we've made up, but we should be going to the scriptures because they have an understanding, and there's a whole lot of theories out there. And I want to just say they might have some truth in it, but they don't have the truth in it. And that's why we've got to get the balance in this thing and to find what God is actually saying through his word. And how do we use this entity of the mind that he has given us? And I'll explain a bit of that bit more. But Paul comes in and he talks about the mind right through Philippians. From Philippians 1:9, he talks about that we might abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. God expects us to have understanding. He expects us to have discernment. In Philippians 2:2, he says, you need to be like-minded, that there needs to be a oneness of our minds. Our attitudes of our hearts need to be of oneness. Philippians 2:5, that your attitude, your state of your mind should be the same of that of Christ Jesus. These are high callings that God has for us. In Philippians 3:15, it says, you know, at some point you think differently to God will make clear. So there's a difference of thinking, and we need to come to a place of unity and oneness. And even when there was disagreement in Philippians 4:2, the two ladies were fighting. It was they needed to come to one mind to come to a place of agreement. And then Philippians 4:7, it says that the peace which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So the text is from Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 to 9. And I read that to you. You can get in your Bibles, and maybe it's good for you to read in your Bibles, Philippians 4, verses 8 to 9. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. For whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, God has created us, and you need to know that you are created. You're not just an it. You're not just something that just came and evolved. you were created, and you actually were created in the image of God, and that's what the Bible tells us. And the entities that the Bible tells us how we made up, and you need to know who you are. You are told in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, that we are spirit, soul, and body. And we are recreated in Christ, and I'll explain that to you. Now, your spirit man was dead. And when you believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, God gave you a new spirit. And that's why the Bible says you are a new creation, and it's created in Christ. So the spirit that's within you now is not dead like the world. It's alive, and it's alive in Christ. You are a new creation. You're not the original creation that took place, all men, the original creation. You are a new creation in Christ with a new covenant that you walk in relationship. You need to know that you can trust this new spirit that's within you to work with God. And then you've been given a soul, which is an entity of your inner man, which is your emotions, your will, your mind, and your intellect. These are spiritual entities still of who we are. And you need to understand that they're part of your soul. And you need to, as you identify that, and I'll explain that a bit more, it'll bring freedom to you. And then you have a body that is real, and it's a temple of the Lord. It says, this is a temple, and we've got to look after this body. But the world is telling us this is the most important part, is this flesh that we live in. And we've got to be very careful that we don't make this numero uno. We need to look after it. But we've got to be living in the spirit and working our new creation, working through our soul and bringing our soul to a place of maturity. Then we can experience everything that the life of God that has been given to us. Now, to explain this area that we're going to be looking at, the mind, the mind is of the soul, but the brain is of the body. Now, your brain is an entity that sits here in your skull, a very important part for making you function. You cannot function without a brain, and as soon as the brain dysfunctional, you fall apart. And there are many people that are dysfunctional because they haven't got a brain that is actually operating properly, and that's where we get clever doctors who try and get the chemicals to work there to get the brain work. But the brain is not the mind. If you look at a computer, the hardware is the brain. The software is the mind, and we've got to ensure that our mind is programmed correctly. Now, we've all lived in the world, and we've had the old nature that has trained our mind, and we've got to renew our minds. Romans 12, verse 2, we've got to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So we've got to have a responsibility to renew our minds. And I wish the Lord had actually brought us to a place when we were born again that our minds would go, and we were reprogrammed. It ain't happened. God has given us to be stewards of our lives, and we've got to work together with Him to renew our minds. And it's going to be right to the day that you close your eyes and you be with the Lord Jesus Christ. You have a responsibility over your mind to bring it in line with the mind of Christ. And I tell you, this is an incredible responsibility. I wish someone had told me at a young age, you've got to actually work on your mind to bring it to renewal, not your brain, your mind. Your mind, because it's got to get to the place where we think like Christ. And how do we do that? There's a whole lot of things we've got to do, but we've got to get to a place that we can think like Christ. Now, that is a high calling, because God's ways are higher than our ways. And how do we get ourselves to a place where we start to think like the Lord Himself? The Word, the leading of the Holy Spirit. And you'll take a lifetime to get there. But we need to grow in the maturity of the thinking of our minds. We cannot be like babies all the time, and we need diapers and we need band-aids in our minds. We need to get to a place where we can have a maturity in our minds. Now, the Bible tells us that our minds can be two opposites. They can be the carnal and they can be the spiritual. We have got to put down the carnality of our minds, and we've got to rise up in the spirituality of our minds. Romans 8, verses 6 to 8. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You've got to fight for that thing. It ain't going to just happen willy-nilly. It's got to be something that you've got to fight for. And the aim in everything is to have the mind of Christ. You know, we always had that little bangle around us, what would Jesus do? Actually, that is a very important thing, because what would Jesus do is actually to have the mind of Christ. So you're facing a situation, you don't know how to apply yourself, you've got to work with God, the Holy Spirit, we've got to have the mind of Christ, and that, Lord, we need your thinking. That's what clearly what the mind of Christ is. We need to be able to think how you think and what is the will of God in this thing. It's a challenge to all of us. We go through many difficulties and ups and downs in life, but to find the mind of Christ, what the right thing to do, and challenges come and things will come. Lord, what do we do and how do we think in these circumstances? And it's a challenge because every situation is different. Every situation demands something different, and to get God's ways into that, you've got to work together with him to find the mind of Christ, and we've got to do that. You cannot sit back and relax mode, TV mode. Just take it in. We've got to think. And thinking takes a process. And you've got to work things out. And you've got to get systems. You've got to get processes worked out. And you know, I was in the corporate world. And the corporate world has recognized if you don't have systems, you fail. If you don't have standard operating procedures, you fail. Because things fall apart. Like homes need order. God has got order, and we need to order the way we live and the way we think. And you've got to make sure you get to a place that you can have the mind of Christ. And you need to know how to get to a place that you can actually have the mind of Christ. And many people today, I want to just say, many people are in mental institutions today because they've never got the mind of Christ. They've never renewed their minds with the Word of God, and they've never believed what God's Word is saying, and they've never enabled the life of God to come into their being because they've restricted their minds to their own thinking. Oh, that is how the world thinks, and that's what I must be. No. We've got to be intelligent. We've got to be wise. And God expects us to work in the Spirit, but he also expects our minds to be part of the thing. You know, I want to just say the modern church has got to the place, throw away your mind. No. Never throw away your mind, because it's who you are. And if you do that, you've given it to the devil. Because if you're not thinking clearly according to God's word, the devil's going to take hold of your thinking. And where do all the false teachings come from? Where do the false prophets come from? They've given their minds over to some entity that's not of God, and it leads them astray. What is bad company corrupts good character, eh? That thing, because their thinking's all wrong, and it's going to lead you astray. Now, this is a high calling to live holy before God, and we have got to push in this thing. This thing just doesn't happen. You have got to be a disciple and disciplined in your lifestyle for this thing to work out. To see people come to maturity, there are very few people that grow to maturity in Christ. I want to be honest with you. Because they have never sought the Lord with all their heart and worked out his ways. Because you start to see people that grow into maturity, they think before they talk. They think before they do something, and they work together with God in those things. And when they speak the very words of God. That's a challenge. Even for me, I find it challenging to be sure that in the right place, because we default to the flesh just like that. And we've got to break that. And I'm telling you now, the secret that God has given us through praying in tongues is not a willy-nilly thing, and it's not a nice thing just to do. We have got to become spiritual, and this will aid you into becoming to a place of maturity, not only to make you stronger, but actually to make you sure that you live your life worthy in Christ and to go forward in him. So this takes training. How do we train ourselves? We've got to train ourselves to think clearly. You know, in Titus 2, verse 12, it says, we need to say no to ungodly godliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age. We cannot allow the window of what we allow to come in to impact us and cause us to think differently. There was a saying when I studied programming was, garbage in, garbage out. And that's true. If you do not protect the filter, what's coming in into you, you will allow rubbish to come in and you will produce rubbish. And if you program yourself incorrectly, you're going to produce what you've programmed. I don't know why God allowed that to take place. He's given us responsibility for our lives as we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We have a responsibility to program our minds correctly in him. So we've got to think of ourselves in Christ. And what does Christ call us to do? And I know this seems far away, But Christ gives us a new law. He doesn't give us the Mosaic law, the things to do just by the Ten Commandments. It's the leading of the Word. It's the leading of the Holy Spirit. And that's where this Bible, the Bible says here now, we've got to be saying whatever is true, what is factual and real, ensure that that comes into our hearts. Whatever is noble, what is something that is not vulgar or thoughtlessness or careless, sure, the nobility of stuff brought into our hearts. What is just and right to allow to come in. Whatever is pure. These are the measures that we use. Whatever is lovely, we got to allow that is friendly, that creates love. Whatever is admirable and pleasing and attractive, what is excellent. Do you know, I just wanted to say admirable, what is, not all art is good.